98 FM's Dublin Talks. Live. Weekday mornings from 10 with Adrian Kennedy.
Never miss a podcast. Just hit subscribe.
And thank you for joining us this morning. We're here till midday today. And for many, many parents, today is not a good day. Schools for children with special needs, which were hoped to reopen tomorrow, will now not, after the government was forced to scrap the plan. Only recently on the show, we heard how difficult it's been for parents of children with additional needs to cope with homeschooling. So we can imagine, this isn't good news for families. And I'd love to hear from you. Are you a parent of a child with special needs? How are you feeling about today's news? The government plan to reopen facilities as early as tomorrow for children with significant additional needs fell apart last night after FORSA and the INTO, the Irish National Teachers Organisation, said they could not support the initiative. The unions say they're available for further talks aimed at improving health and safety provision in schools to enable them to reopen safely. The Department of Education has also said that it is committed to further engagement on the issue. But what was hoped for tomorrow with the reopening of schools for children with additional needs has now been scrapped yet again. And as I said, if you're a parent affected by this, you can call us on 6797981 or send me a WhatsApp voice note to 0877 989898 if you want to comment on this news. I'm joined on the line by Adam Harris, who is the founder and CEO of the autism charity As I Am, to hear what he'd like to see. Adam, let me ask you firstly, your reaction to the fact that schools for kids with special needs will not be opening tomorrow.
Well, I think today is a day really in which children have been let down by all stakeholders and by everybody at the table. You know, we needed adults, people in powerful positions to come together and help some of the most vulnerable young people in our country return to education as is their constitutional right. And what we've seen is a failure in that regard. I think what's very clear is There's been a real lack of detail and clarity about what would be needed to be put in place in order to allow our children to return to school. And I think what hasn't been recognised is, of course, we need to provide safeguards. Of course, we need to engage and provide clarity to stakeholders. But we have to do that through a particular framework. And that's recognising we're talking about a group of essential workers delivering an essential service that is the constitutional right of our children. Our children have a right to an appropriate education. And this morning, for the third time now, they've had to be told that they won't be returning to school. For our children, it's not just a case of getting up and putting on the uniform. It requires a huge amount of preparation. And now, 10 months after COVID first came to Ireland, once again, they're not receiving an education. We know these young people can't learn remotely. And we know that just all around Europe, this service is being provided. If you hop in your car this morning and drive to County Armagh, special schools and classes are open there. They're closed here in Monaghan. It's not acceptable. It needs to be fixed.
What are the implications of this, Adam? I mean, you mentioned that remote learning isn't possible for children with special needs, or at least it's extraordinarily difficult. What are the long-term implications of their education stopping yet again?
You know, we've seen the short-term implications. We've seen people lose really important skills. You know, I'm worried that when we talk about school to people who might not know about special education, they're thinking about people going in and doing maths and English. It's not about that for our children. It's about actually learning skills and using skills like communication, like personal hygiene, self-care, self-regulation. Skills that if you don't have, you suffer greatly on a day-to-day basis. And our young people and their families have suffered over the last 10 months. But to be honest, we don't actually know the impact this is going to have developmentally into the future. We imagine it's going to be very, very significant. The implications of this will pay out long after COVID-19. And that's before we consider the fact that this is happening for a second time. What is concerning for me this morning is we need absolute clarity. We need a date from about when schools are going to reopen, a real date that everyone is committed to and is going to deliver. But at the same time, our children can't be expected to wait around with no support in the meantime. So what I'm seeking this morning is a meeting with the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach and Eamon Ryan, the three party leaders in government, to discuss what government is going to do to fulfil its constitutional right, its constitutional obligation to provide an appropriate education for our young people. I think we need to look at what is possible beyond just the Department of Education now, because our families cannot continue to wait and cannot continue to suffer.
Isn't it a fact, though, Adam, that because of the extraordinary prevalence of COVID-19 in the community, it's not possible to say when schools will reopen until those figures come down dramatically?
It's simply not true, because the reality is we know that NPHET has said special schools and classes can reopen safely. The unions did ask for advice on that. They were provided with that advice, but people don't seem to have engaged in it. We know that special schools and classes in Northern Ireland are operating very successfully with flexibility and engagement from all partners. And education itself as an essential service is a total outlier in this country. We have a situation that this morning while I'm talking to you, childcare services are open for essential workers. HSE disability services are open, which provide for a very similar cohort of people in terms of support needs as special classes and schools do. So, you know, I spoke yesterday to an OT who yesterday was providing emergency respite services in a special school building. So we have to ask the question, if all of that is possible because it's essential, because it has to happen, why on earth are some of our most vulnerable young people not in school? Because we can talk about public health data, but let's not fool ourselves. The suffering that our children are enduring, the developmental loss that's taking place, coupled with the reports we're seeing about lockdown and its impact on very vulnerable young people in terms of hospitalisation, for example, that's public health data too, and we do very well not to ignore that.
So where to from here, Adam? We were hoping that the schools would open for children with special needs tomorrow. That is not going to be happening now. Where to from here?
So I think two things need to happen. We need the stakeholders to stop playing games. We need them to show us where the goalposts are and to stick to those goalposts. We then need all stakeholders in the department to work towards an urgent reopen of special schools and classes as an essential service. But we also do need other support from government. The fact that there's an industrial relations issue does not relieve Minister Foley of her constitutional obligations to our children. And as a result, we want to see a plan of support that can be put in place by other services to support our families in the meantime, and that we'll be seeking that meeting today.
All right. Adam Harris, Chief Executive of As I Am. Thank you very much indeed for talking to us.
Thank you very much.
And if you want to comment on this, you can call us on 6797981 if you are a parent of a child with special needs who is affected by this announcement that yet again, children with special needs will not be returning to the classroom as was hoped, because, as Adam was explaining, remote learning is just not possible for so many children. And it's more than just curriculum stuff. It is day-to-day living is what they're missing out on. Joanne, you have a child with special needs. Had you hoped that your child would be going back to school tomorrow?
Hi, Adrian. Yeah, 100%. Oh, God, I'm very nervous. My son is 13. He attends a special needs school. He has moderate learning disabilities, verbal dyspraxia, speech dyspraxia. So in regard to school, it's not about him going to school and sitting there and doing maths or English. It's more like it's life skills. Mm. In his school, he learned how to cook. He'd loads of stuff. They have a swimming pool, so he does swimming for swimming therapy. They do relaxation classes. It's stuff that I cannot possibly do at home unless I go down Killiney Beach with him and throw him in the water there.
Mm. So, this is the point that we made just a second ago, that this isn't just about learning schoolwork. It's about, as you said yourself, life skills is what...
definitely.
Yeah. And what the teachers are so skilled at and trained in doing.
Oh, 100%. And it's not even like, I think parents are more annoyed because it seems to be more the SNAs that have pushed against this. Like my son's teacher has been on Zoom with him and how they keep saying we'd love to see it on Thursday. We hope to see it on Thursday. So it is only a certain amount of SNAs that have pushed against this. And I think the reason I'm more annoyed is the comments I read on social media from an SNA from my son's school stating how she's not a frontline worker, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, really?
Oh, 100%, yeah, yeah. Loads of social media, how if special needs schools are so important, why don't you vaccinate us? She works with my child. Like, to read something like that is very disheartening.
That it really is. Do they not have a point, though, that, you know, that they should be looked after? They should be bumped up the priority list in terms of vaccination and all of that.
They should be vaccinated, but you also have to accept in my son's school alone, there's only 7 in his class. He's in this standard size class. So 7 who are well able to social distance. Do you know what I mean? Like, my son doesn't have personal needs, so he knows not to, like, he doesn't need anyone to help him to the toilet. He's well able to wash his hands, well able to sanitize. So, no. Like, I understand every special school isn't like that, 100%. It's not. But from my point of view, his class was fine.
And you weren't concerned with, you know, virus cases quite significant.
Not,
no. You weren't concerned about him going back.
No, 100% not. They have 160-odd kids in that school. Not one teacher, not one child, not one bus driver or escort caught COVID.
I know, but we have an awful lot more of it around
now. Oh, I understand that, but it just shows how the precautions that school has took in particular to be able to keep it that way.
Mm.
And I just had so much
faith. Tell me then, Joanne, the impact not being at school is having on your son.
Well, I'm not going to lie, my son's quite happy to stay at home. I'm quite kind of one of the lucky ones, but he's not going to learn anything. Like, he's not going to sit down at a table with me and do 5 + 3. Like, he's 13. He couldn't add that up without having a number chart in front of him.
Hmm.
He won't come down to a shop with me for me to go, because obviously he can't wear a mask. He just physically cannot wear it. So obviously you get the look if I try and say to him, I can't say, you go into a shop there by yourself and buy this, because the first thing is he's going to be asked to wear the mask. You can't understand him because of his speech. To explain why he hasn't got a mask on. So it's all these things he's losing out on. He's losing out on relaxation classes he would have done in school. He's losing out on his swimming class that he would have done. Like, I also have another child here who's 7 who I have to try and homeschool as well as the other child.
Okay, so but it is much more difficult with your 13-year-old and he's missing out much more.
Yeah, like, for me to try and sit him down at a table and get him to write, it's agony, absolute agony. Like, he gets so angry and so upset. And then, like, if you rub anything out on him, he doesn't understand why you're doing it. And then, obviously, I'm getting frustrated. And it's just not worth it. The whole day is just a torment then, because everyone's in a bad mood.
All right, Joanne, I hope the government and the unions, they say that they're going to continue talking. I hope they can come to some arrangement. And and as we've seen over the last couple of days, case numbers are starting to come down. So it will eventually be safer for everybody for classes to return. So I'll keep my fingers crossed. Thanks very much indeed, Joanne. I wish you the very best. And Kemi and John, I'll take your calls after the break. If you've any comments on this and the effect that your children with special needs not being able to go back to school tomorrow is having on them, please let us know. Call us on 6797981. Back in just a moment, don't go away. And you're very welcome back. Lots of reaction coming in from parents and just people commenting generally on the fact that children with special needs, and it was a lot of effort has gone in to try and get them back to school tomorrow. But it fell apart last night with the trade unions essentially saying that they're not happy. Here's a message that's just come in to us. Hi, Adrian. I'm a primary school teacher and I'm ashamed to be called one at this moment. I think us not willing to agree to anything that involves us going back. I teach in a disadvantaged area and less than half my class are engaging in online learning. It's a disgrace. Schools are safe and we need to get them back. Stop moaning, teachers, says that message from a primary school teacher. And another message says, the simple solution to all of this is to give the teachers the option to go back. If they don't want to, then that's fine. Cut their pay back to COVID payment and they can stay home as long as they want. See how quick they will run back to school then. Jay sent me this WhatsApp voice note.
Adrian, my little one needs special needs assistance. And I tell you what, it's killing her at home, this remote teaching. She's missing their interaction with a couple of pals that she'd be close with. But the remote learning, it's just too hard. Herself's at home, giving her a hand there. And it just doesn't work. A few minutes trying to teach her something, she getting a book in the head. It's just not right. It's killing her. She was in tears last night. when she told she wasn't going back to school on Thursday. Like, it's just not right. The only way I can see it, put these teachers on to put pavement. We'll see how quick they want to run back to school. Thanks, Jay.
All right, Jay, thanks very much indeed. And look, we have to have a degree of understanding for some teachers that don't feel comfortable going back to work with the virus in such rampant circulation. Now, we do know, and we've seen, that the case numbers are slowly but surely coming down. You'd like to hope that that will continue over the next week or two, and that it is only a matter of time before they are back at work. Kemi, you're on 98FM. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Morning, Adrian.
Now, your point is about the regression for some children that is so damaging to them.
Absolutely. Now, Adrian, just hold on a second. I've come off to a checkpoint there.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll ring you back in a minute.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we'll ring you back in a minute. Okay. Okay. We'll ring Kemi back. Don't want to get her into trouble being on a phone and at a checkpoint and everything else. Terry, you're on 98FM. How are you, Terry?
How are you, Adrian?
I'm good, thanks, Terry. Terry, you weren't going to be sending your daughter in anyhow. Is that right?
That's right. No, I wasn't.
Why not?
Because the cases are going off the chart. I know they're not now, but they're still at least 2,000 a day. The schools were closed back in last March when there was probably 200 cases a day.
Yeah, that's right.
So why would they want to reopen when there's the new strain that's apparently airborne? So it's like spreading like wildfire out there, and then they want to bring the children that have special needs, of a lot of which have underlying health problems also. They want to bring them back into school for that.
But I think it was being left to parents to make that decision for themselves as to whether or not to send them back. And you'd already...
I'd already rang the principal and told the principal that Rebecca would be going back to school when it's safe for her other two siblings to be going back to school with her.
Mm. So you'd already made that decision. So can you understand why there was, amongst certainly the unions, a reluctance to tell their members to go back to work?
Of course I can, yeah, because, again, for them, the cases are going crazy out of order, and, like, there was no talking to them beforehand. It was just the government decided this. Like, the government needed to get these people and talk to them before making these decisions.
Okay, so you would agree then with this message that's just come in to me, and it says, Adrian, the decision was 100% the right one. I've two children with special needs with no sense of social distancing or hygiene. Why should my child put any teacher or family at risk? Parents are using school as a break and childminders. Mind your own children like everyone else.
Yeah.
Little bit harsh. Little bit harsh because that's kind of undermining the immense ability that lots of teachers and special needs assistants and all of that have for dealing with children. They're properly trained. The average parent isn't.
No, we're not fully properly trained. My wife is my daughter's carer, so she will be at home anyway. So. What's the point in putting numerous people at risk of catching COVID unnecessarily?
Okay, so you believe that until the case numbers come dramatically down, it is not time to be reopening any type of school?
Well, either the case numbers come dramatically down or they vaccinate all teachers and SNAs.
I can't see that happening in the next week or two, unfortunately.
No, I can't see that happening in the next month or two either.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Terry, thanks very much indeed for your call. Let me squeeze in some more calls and WhatsApp voice notes. This is Gareth.
Just on that woman, I feel very sorry for her. She shouldn't have ever seen that SNA putting that up on Facebook or anything like that. But I think it's absolutely ridiculous the way they're going on. The teachers are, sooner the better we vaccinate teachers. I think they should just vaccinate out and get the kids back into a routine. A lot of families out there who should be working but they can't because they have to mind their kids at the minute. It's absolutely terrible. Sooner the better we vaccinate teachers because they think they're high and mighty. And they owe this, everyone owes them something. We're all living in it together. Everyone else has to go in and out of work. Poor doctors going in and out. Yeah, they are essential workers, but teachers think they're essential workers. They don't have to work. Cop on to like they should.
All right, thanks very much indeed. This message just came in to me and it says, Adrian, I'm a mum of a 10-year-old boy with autism and I, for one, am delighted that the schools are staying closed. I have family that are in hospital with COVID and I know of two people that passed away from COVID last week. I absolutely feel for the parents, but this virus is rampant and the new strain is highly contagious. I would rather keep my kids safe and teachers and SNAs safe. I find remote learning fine for my son. His teacher is great. I understand kids on the spectrum of various different types of needs, but I've seen the effects of this virus that has taken lives close to me. Stay at home and stay safe until we get the numbers down. Please keep my name anonymous, says that message. John, you're on 98 FM. How are you, John?
Good morning, Adrian. How are you?
John, you've just heard that message from a woman with a child with autism, delighted that the schools are staying closed.
Okay, Adrian, I think there's a distinction needs to be made here that nobody really seems to be getting unless you're in the, you have skin in the game, as they say. Essentially, you know, there's a lot of stuff about SNAs and this, that and the other. Mainstream school has SNA teachers in classes. I've got a son with special needs. He goes to St. Michael's House in Baldoyle. He's 12 years old. Profound special needs, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, he goes to a school that, you know, it's not about academia. It's about life skills. My other two kids go to school, and in their class, they've got one or two kids in mainstream primary school who have, you know, maybe a learning difficulty, and they get help from an SNA. The difference between my other two kids and the little fella that goes to the special needs school is that everything he gets is in that special needs school. The bigger picture is that all our assistance in every regard, physiotherapy, occupational therapy, speech and language therapy. Now, our fellow's non-verbal, he's deaf, but they do PECS, which is picture exchange. It's a form of a visual sign language. They're the things that people don't realise, that our children in these special needs schools, in schools that are directly, that everybody in them has profound special needs. And that's the thing that people are missing here. We're mixing up the mainstream schools, the SNAs there, who do, by the way, I'm not undermining the job and the importance of their work, but there is a distinction to be made in that regard, I feel. I think it's disgraceful that the schools, the special needs schools, are closed. Our fella, in the first lockdown in March, regressed something dramatically. Like, I mean, he was biting his hands, banging his head off the wall.
Is he now, John?
Well, he's gone back to that. That's the problem, Adrian. Since December, since the school, since he went on holidays, he was fine for a couple of weeks. Now we can see this week and last week that those traits starting to come back. You know, he's not sleeping properly through the night again. He might be up twice, three times during the night, you know, crying for no reason. He's a happy fella. He doesn't really, you know, cry that much. We're having to, you know, daytime. I mean, remote learning is pointless for him. You know, it's absolutely pointless. We put him in front of the Zoom. And in fairness, Adrian, the teachers in St. Michael's House in Baldoyle, they do Zoom. You know, they do their absolute best. You know, and like someone said earlier in the conversation, there are a lot of teachers that do want to go back. I mean, I had a conversation on Twitter last night with a teacher who was disgusted.
Some are. And in fact, you heard that message that I read out a couple of minutes ago. I'm embarrassed to be called a teacher.
Yeah, and look, I mean, that's fairly strong. I mean, teachers are doing good work, you know, there's a lot of them with secondary schools doing stuff, but unfortunately, you know, you can tell a secondary school pupil to learn online, and it might work out for most of them. Learning online, I mean, as I said, it's a different type of learning we're talking about here. With kids that have profound special needs, and there are lots of them out there, they were thrown under the bus in March, and now they've been thrown under the bus again. And it's not fair, you know, and I think there has to be, you know, I mean, we're all in this together. It's all about protecting the vulnerable. Well, this certainly isn't protecting the vulnerable, because the problem is, Adrian, that if you look at the statistics, certainly from the kids' point of view, and this is globally, very few children are affected by COVID-19. Mm. I do take it that they may be transmitters of it. But
that obviously is a significant worry, bearing in mind how many cases we have in circulation in the country.
It is, Adrian, but like, this new strain was out. This is the thing I can't get. This new strain was discovered in England on the 20th of September, which means it was probably circulating before they discovered it. So hence, from September to December, of last year. This new strain was probably in Ireland and circulating away. We've seen an increase in mortality in the very, very aged in the country. If you look at the statistics, it's not affecting healthy, you know, even healthy sort of middle-aged people. On the whole. Now, I can't, you know, it's very hard to generalise.
Well, I was reading yesterday about the hospitalisations are right across all age groups, and it's not just, older people who are dying, but younger people are ending up in hospital.
Maybe ending up in hospital. They're also getting discharged quite quickly as well. I mean, you know, nobody hears the discharge figures on hospital. It's all about the admissions. So, you know, I do think perspective is needed. You know, we're talking about something that, like, the plan from the government was living with COVID. I mean, if this is living with COVID, like, we're not really living, you know, particularly our vulnerable children. And I think a special effort has to be made, you know, by hook or by crook in some shape or form. Or okay, we're going to have a bigger problem down the road.
Okay, so this is a disastrous decision for your child specifically.
100%, and many like him, you know, anybody that's in his school. And I appreciate, by the way, Adrian, one thing I do appreciate and I totally respect is the fact that if a parent is worried, you know, because I said the children in my son Rogan's school are very, very vulnerable, right? But they were also very vulnerable from September to December, you know, and they were vulnerable last year when there was, you know, flus going around and all sorts of viruses that come. You know, you go to the doctor with a bug and he just tells you it's viral any other year. And you don't go, well, what virus was it? You just go, well, I got it and I got over it.
All right.
And
so
a
devastating announcement that the teachers and the government couldn't agree on a return to work protocol. John, I have to take a quick break. I'll squeeze in one or two more after that. Don't go away. As you've just been hearing from Laura, schools and children with special needs, where we were hoping they would be returning to school tomorrow, because of the devastating impact that not being at school has on many children with special needs, it was hoped that they could reopen tomorrow, but that unfortunately is not going to be the case. Now, Kemi, you got through that checkpoint all right, did you?
I did, Adrian, yeah.
Now, yeah. You work in the disability sector, and your biggest concern is the possible regression for many, many, many children.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I work with adults, and we did see a regression in some of them. When we and disability day services were opened in August, with people who had traveled to their work locations for over 20 years, missing their bus stops when they went back, you know, simple things. That social interaction as well was lacking. So I think if I went to get more pedal bins for work when I was stopped by the guards. If safety measures are put in place, I do not see why special needs schools can't reopen. I spent an hour and a half yesterday afternoon cleaning, which is why I needed extra pedal bins because with new guidelines for the men and women who use our services who are on the high risk group.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are beginning to come back, you know, to attend the day service. So if safety measures are put in place, things are risk assessed. You know, and I know special needs schools are usually smaller classes, so it's easy to manage than your mainstream primary school class or secondary school. But the effect it would have, you know, the mental health it would have on these young kids with additional needs.
Do you have an understanding, though, why with the severe rate of virus circulating in the community, how unions are reluctant?
No, I don't, except someone has an underlying health condition which puts them more at risk. I don't, because like I said, safety measures, use your gloves, use your sanitizer, use your face mask, added protection, you can put on a shield. So if you're following the guidelines of disposing of your face mask every 2 hours, or depending on the number of people you have there, you're washing and sanitizing your hands, sanitizing surfaces, you're keeping distance. Now, I do know some cases you can't keep your distance, or there might be some kids or adults that would not be able to tolerate the face mask. But then we as staff have our face mask 24/7, as long as we're in there. Do you know? So you followed all safety guidelines. And yeah, so I know cases are rising, but I just feel if things are done, are looked at and done in a safe manner, that they should be able to open.
Okay, so you would obviously be urging the government and the unions to talk again and try and come to some sort of an arrangement.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm. We were delighted when we went into level 5 before Christmas. We were delighted we were deemed, day services were deemed an essential service, that we're able to continue to reopen. Now, I must admit, our numbers have dropped since after Christmas, but we still do have people coming. For those who need the services, we are there. For those which had underlying health conditions or feel safe, we are there. You know, we are open for them to come in. So people should be given the option. I was listening to the dad there who was discussing about his young son, and my heart was breaking.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, it was a decision that was being left up to parents if they wanted to send their child back or not.
Yeah,
and some, as you heard already, had already decided that they weren't going to send them back. Anyway, thanks very much indeed for your call, Kemi. And let me squeeze in a final WhatsApp voice note on this from Claire.
Hi, Adrian. I have a 10-year-old little boy with autism, and for the past few days he was so excited to go back to school. And this morning I told him that there was no school, and he was absolutely devastated. He's in a mainstream school in special class, and I think that with only 6 children there, that they should be able to be safe in the whole school, because they would have a one-on-one situation, so you could put one child in one class. I just think it's disgraceful. And again, with the other schools, the teachers who don't want to go back, exactly, put them on the PUP and see how quick they last. Thanks, Claire.
All right, Claire, thank you very much indeed. And thank you, all of you, for your comments on that. And let us hope that the government and the unions have said they will continue to talk. Let us hope that they continue to talk and that they get those children back to school as soon as possible. Just one final message, and it says, I'm an SNA in a special school. If anyone is to know how much kids love a routine, is the people that work with them every day. We are a school, we are around for education that we are still providing online. We are not a respite service, and let's face it, that's what we are getting used as. Governments have let people down, not SNAs or teachers. My family and my health is a priority to me, and I'm sorry, my job comes second to that. All right, thank you very much indeed for that message and all of your comments. This is 98 FM.
98 FM's Dublin Talks. Weekdays from 10 a.m.